And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 194. I'm your host, Silas Lindenstein. Samantha's on assignment. Welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Today's episode, I do have a guest. I have a guest with me. Her name is Tara Widener. She is Tara Widener. Tara Widener. She is a comedian in the Seattle, Washington area. She runs several comedy shows. She was one of the first to really perfect the virtual comedy show when the pandemic hit. She ran several of those. And I had her on today to talk because she, like me, has been a big TV fan. We watch, some people might say excessive, but I say a healthy, robust amount of television. Maybe not as much in the newer years, but in our past, we watched a lot of TV. And today I wanted to talk about in this February theme of love, right? Because it's Valentine's Day month. So I wanted to talk about some of the rom-coms and different things like that. But today I wanted to talk about some of the greatest TV couples of all time. I found a list, and we made our own lists, and we talk about them. We go over this other list I found of lots of couples and give the thumbs up, thumbs down. Talk about what makes a good TV couple. Some names did not make the list that I thought might have. But turns out when you think about them, that's not really a healthy couple. So did I miss some? Did we? After the episode, let me know. Let me know if there is a great couple that you think we missed. Or were we wrong about any of those? Were some of these not great? Were some of the ones we denied greatness actually a really good relationship? Let me know. DM me, email me at silas@blackandahalf.com, whatever it takes. So yeah, that's the show we got for you today. And right now I would like to thank our Patreon listeners, Patreon supporters. If you too would like to help support this show, Black and a Half, for as little as $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And sign up $1 a month, or you can up it a little bit and, you know, and become an Inner Circle member like, Keith Nagel, Stefan Ward, Tara Widener, who's also the guest today, huh? She's Patreon and a guest. So that's right. Do that. Come, become a supporter. Or, if you don't want to do that, you could maybe share this episode. That helps it. Or go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. Or you can even listen to my other podcast, my more business-related podcast. It's called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I educate and empower home buyers all over the nation on the step-by-step process of buying a home. Especially good for first-time home buyers. And of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I would love to help you out. Because when I'm not interviewing people, when I'm not reading, you know, when I'm not watching TV, reading books, or reviewing movies, I'm selling homes. I'm helping people buy and sell homes. So I'd love to help you out if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, or connect you with an agent elsewhere. But either way, go listen to that podcast, right? So here we are. That's that podcast. But this is this one. So right now I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 194, The Greatest TV Couples of All Time.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.
Join us
Tara.
Silas.
Or Tara.
Tara.
I got it right. Okay. You're not necessarily a rom-com fan.
Well, you are. No.
No. No. But you are a TV. Are you, would you say an addict?
Recovering.
Recovering.
Oh. Yeah. I don't watch as much TV as I used to. I used to watch a lot, like a lot. Now it's, you know, a show every once in a while. So reformed, recovering TV addict.
Is it because of comedy?
No, it's just because I got busy with other things. Like, I actually got a life and wasn't sitting on the couch just watching TV all the time. So, I mean, good reasons.
You can have a life and watch a lot of TV. You know, when there was only three networks of television, it was much easier to keep up on all of these shows.
That is absolutely true. Because I have like every streaming service and I don't know what's on what.
Right.
I can't keep up.
It's hard. I think some of these, like the best of for me now, like I just did the best of my best of films of 2021. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like the best of 2021 that I've seen so far.
Thank you. Right?
Because I've got like, there's still more I have to see, and it became a judgment. I'm like, okay, which one do I think I'm going to like more that I'm going to bother to watch? And then
social media.
Yeah.
Will really make that decision for you.
Sort of, you know, like in the Film Critics Society for the 2021, like everyone in the Film Critics Society hated. I'm like the only person who liked Don't Look Up.
I loved that.
I know everyone else I know loved it, except film critics. Film critics generally didn't like the film, and I don't even get it. But
too real.
Then it was like, well, great. Am I going to listen to them then for the rest of the suggestions on what I should listen to in my remaining week? They're like, oh, go watch this movie. The film that won Best Picture, I didn't even like. And it won Best Picture. It got voted Best Picture by everybody. I'm like, are you all nuts?
What did they vote for?
It was called Drive My Car. It's a Japanese film, 3 hours long. It's been winning. It's won critics awards all over. It won the LA Critics Award, New York Critics Award. It's sweeping critics awards, and nobody else has heard of it. And I don't even think it's that good. I mean, it's not bad, but it's just.
Well, it's like when Life is Beautiful won everything. And it's like, you're a French film and no one's watched you, but okay, you're probably good.
Italian. That was Italian, but.
Oh, see, that's how much I saw it.
I liked that one. It was like the only foreign film I had seen in like ever. But I was like, yeah, I like it. Sure. It's great.
See, and that's why you're a film critic. You're supposed to do these.
Yeah, but then I like Star Wars, and it's not. I'm a weird film critic, right? Right. Yeah.
What's wrong with liking Star Wars?
I said I'm a for the people critic. I'm for the people. Viva the. So these couples. So anyway, like couples, like I was looking at lists of the greatest couples in time. And I'm like, I don't even know who this is. How did I miss this? Or it has made me go like, oh, I guess maybe I should watch that. That sounds good. Or I'm like, oh, well, no, I mean, I've seen a few episodes. So I get it.
I ran into the opposite. I was familiar with almost every couple that I had read through on all those lists, you know, that the internet puts together for us. And then I started realizing how much TV I had actually watched throughout my life and how wrong certain people were when they put some of these couples on these greatest lists. I'm like,
well, and some, I was talking to my wife about this last night, you know, where we think of like, oh, I'll put an example of one that I don't think should be on a list. That often is Sam and Diane from Cheers.
Thank you.
Because I was like, you know, yeah, it was great watching, seeing how they would go each week. But If you think about their relationship, it was a toxic relationship. They should not have been together. There was just too much baggage by the end. Spoiler alert, mm-hmm. they decide not to. And that was probably the best choice because I don't think they were not good for each other. Mm-hmm. They may have been passionate for each other, but I don't think they were good. Like, yep. Did you watch, were you a Sex and the City fan?
I loved Sex and the City. And now that they've rebooted it, I totally love And Just Like That. So
I'm watching Sex and the City. I was so mad that she ended up with Mr. Big.
Yes.
And I remember when she cheated on the good guy, the guy I liked.
Aiden.
Mm-hmm. I was so mad. I was so mad. And nobody had warned me because I was watching it right now as I was getting divorced. Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I started watching it and nobody warned me there was a cheating thing in it. And I'm like, how could you not all tell me something was going to happen? Carrie. And I never forgave her for it. And to end up with Mr. Big, who never treated her right. Like, oh,
you may like the reboot then. I'm not going to say anything.
No, I've been watching. I'm all caught up. Okay. Yeah. No, I like the, I'll say the first episode I was like, well, this is familiar. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, are they trying to show like, oh, this is what the humor was written this way, even though we don't write comedy like that anymore.
Yeah.
That's weird. And I don't know if I just got used to it or if the subsequent episodes were like, okay, we're done. We're moving on.
I think it's the latter because yeah. I did notice the same thing that you did. I'm like, okay. It feels like they're just trying to light the same fire.
Yeah.
But now it's actually grown and you can see the progression. And with that, I noticed Miranda and Steve on some of those great lists. And I agree, but disagree. Like, good couple, but I don't think should go together. And
well, yeah. And then you have to take into account what's going on now. In it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm a big fan of.
Okay. So I don't know how to do that. Like, okay. So I was like, I can throw out names. Like, I don't even know. I don't even want to know. Like, how big of a list do you have?
I only came up with like five. I wanted to keep it like maybe one per decade.
Oh, nice.
And I kept to a strict criteria, like what I felt made a great couple. And I didn't want any of the toxic ones like Sam and Diane. I stayed away from like David and Maddie. If anyone watched Moonlight or if their moms forced them back in the
80s. I remember that. I was trying to remember if that was toxic.
It wasn't necessarily toxic. It was more like a sexual tension. And then finally they did. And everyone was like, all right, we're done now.
Show's done.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, so what are some good ones? And I had to dive really deep. And I avoided the obvious ones. No Lucy, no Ricky, you know, any of those. But I think the ones I chose really kind of, I don't know, I went diverse, but each one I think is a really good couple that had okay. some staying power.
Well, I'd love to hear your list first then.
Okay.
And we'll discuss some of these.
Do you want these chronologically?
By the way, this is February because this is a February episode. This is love on Black and a Half. This is the love month where we're studying. We're looking at the best couples. We're going to be looking mm-hmm. at the best rom-coms, favorite rom-coms of people. And I don't know, other things. Each episode in February is going to be dedicated to the art of love. Okay. That's why we're doing this on there. I'll probably said that in the intro. And this is,
I dig it
that you already heard that I haven't done, but okay. Well, yeah, sure. By decade. Let's go. Wow. Decades. I'm that old.
By decade. What okay. So, well, then we'll dive right into the oldest and one of the first couples of broadcast television, which is going to be number one on my list. So I guess we're just starting really? Backwards. Gomez and Morticia Adams.
Oh, wow. That I don't think I'd seen that one anywhere and I hadn't thought of it.
So
he was head over heels for her.
Mm-hmm.
Was she really into him?
Yes.
She was
fiercely.
They were fiercely
into each other.
Okay.
She was just more muted about it. They were supportive of their kids. They were the embodiment of what a really good couple is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'll fight anyone that says different.
That's a great unexpected choice. Okay, go. Oh, I should keep track of this. Okay, for you.
Take notes.
Yeah, I wasn't. Oh, Morticia and Gomez. Wait, Gomez? Wait.
Yeah, Gomez. Adams.
Okay.
Give him the D twice.
Gomez and Morticia. Adams. Okay. From the Adams family. That is a good one. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. And they, you know, it was always Halloween too. And that's when I would love that.
Okay. For me, it's year round, but yes, I suppose some people think of Adams family as a Halloween thing.
No, I'm saying Halloween. It's like, it's always Halloween, but for them, it's like life.
I will watch the Addams Family movies the way most people will watch The Wizard of Oz, just because. And of course, the New Year's Day marathons are great.
I will watch. I'm sorry, I have to look at the thing to make sure it's working. I used to watch the old episodes, mm-hmm. So I wasn't big into the movies that came out. They're okay, but I just loved the TV show so much when I was young. Yeah. But it's been ages since I've seen it. Them and the Munsters,
mm-hmm. And that was going to be on my list. But I figured if I already hit,
yeah, I think they're a better one though, because Herman Munster was not the brightest of.
He was a really good father, but it was one of those like childish adult with adult children kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's great because then you can relate to your kids more, and it did make him a wonderful dad.
Yeah.
Gomez and Morticia still win in my book.
Okay.
Looks like I kind of skipped over the 70s in my list. I did have Edith and Archie Bunker, but I kind of crossed them off just because a little bit obvious. But Philip and Vivian Banks.
Yes. Now, the first Vivian or the second Vivian? From the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay.
Original Aunt Viv.
Original Aunt Viv. Okay.
Original Aunt Viv. Don't get me wrong. The second one was great. But original Aunt Viv just had something about her. That character was so well played by the actress that played her. I'm sorry. Yeah. I cannot think of the name right now. But I loved it. And just, we knew they were rich. They were in Bel Air. They lived in a mansion, but they still had some kind of normalcy, values and morals. And it wasn't like watching spoiled brats. It wasn't a 90210 kind of couple.
Right.
And I dug that about them.
My little cheat sheet had them, but it did not. I did not mention the actor either. And she and Will Smith just got back together or just got like forgiven.
Oh yeah. They just reconnect.
They came to a understanding of each other. Mm-hmm. And also, side note, for that show, Peacock Network in February will be airing the reboot of Fresh Prince called Bel-Air. And it's as a drama, which is really exciting. Janet Hubert was Vivian Banks, the first seasons 1 through 3. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully they will not tarnish the awesome couplehood that was Vivian and Phil.
Well, Uncle Phil's dead. So.
Oh, the actor. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Put that out of my head.
I'm sorry. Betty White.
But. Okay. Well,
if you say it three times, she comes back.
Okay. So, it can't tarnish. I mean, they're using different actors for all of them, right? So just hopefully like it doesn't change that, because sometimes when they reboot things and try to make it edgier, because it's now like, I hope like Aunt Vivian's not like some hoeing around.
Oh, you mean like Jesse Spano?
Betsy Savannah on.
I haven't even watched the new Saved by the Bell, but the previews, I'm just like, are they acknowledging that Showgirls happened?
I don't know. You know, so, oh my God, that show. I watched a couple episodes, two episodes, and I was like, this is horrible. And it's not even like, it's like they're not even acknowledging that it was, that this is bad. It's not even like tongue in cheek. It's like they took the same writers and just said, yeah, let's just do it again. Let's just have bad television.
So bad.
My God.
So bad. Oh God, so bad.
Horrible. Okay. I'm down with that. I like those relationships so far. All right. Who else we got?
All right. I had actually crossed some off my list. I'll tell you why later. But moving on. Let's see. Wanda Maximoff and Vision.
Interesting. Is that so? Why there? Here's our first bad guy as a.
Okay. One, pure love.
Pure love. Okay.
Pure love. It was wholesome AF. I'm going to give them that. They were awesome. Really great parents. Okay.
Are we saying WandaVision? Are we saying in WandaVision? Okay.
Yes. We're TV couples is what we're going for, right? You
know what? Yeah. I guess technically, yeah. It's a TV show.
We could go into the whole like comic book stories messed up things got.
No.
The show.
Just looking at the show.
Yes.
Wanda and Vision. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he was attentive. He wanted to make it. They're both working on the marriage, I guess.
Ish. They weren't necessarily toxic.
Right. I mean, she was. Ish. She's like brainwashed him. Kind of.
Okay,
right?
But.
For his own good.
I mean, she had her reasons.
Well, because he was dead. There was the he's dead aspect of it.
There was just that one episode when she broke into the compound and was standing over his body. Like, my heart got ripped out. You could feel the love. And so when I was compiling this list, I went, you know what? I'm sorry. That lands them on there as a great couple. If I could feel the emotion through the screen, they get it.
Yeah. Okay, no, I can see that. It's an unexpected. I have not alluded to that, had seen allusions to that, because it was one season, so
yeah,
you're not prepared. I mean, yeah, I'm they not prepared that for that, but yeah, who knows? Maybe Loki and Loki will be on one.
I almost did that. I was going to be like, Loki and Loki.
I want to see where the relationship goes, maybe.
No, we're talking like old guy Loki and alligator Loki. Like,
oh, again, I want to see where the relationship goes.
Told you I was going unconventional. Yeah. But speaking of unconventional, Pusey Washington and Brooke Soso, Orange is the New Black.
Oh, okay. Admit, I started watching that and then I just stopped, not because I didn't like it. I liked it. It was just I didn't have room in my drama schedule for it in my time. But I've always wanted to stay on it. You finished the whole series?
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you like about the relationship though, for people who have seen it?
The thing that landed them on my list was recalling Pusey's definition of love, which is chilling together, hanging out, talking about stupid things, laughing, enjoying each other's presence, and just being. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with a definition like that, that basically is like borderline a Johnny Cash love letter, it got me. And the way that they came together and the bond that they formed, it was one of those just, it was love. It wasn't crap. It was love.
And that's interesting because it's not like so they're in prison, right? So you can't. All you have is time to spend with people. And I guess you can't you can't trick people with a lot of expensive gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You can't waste a lot of nights just watching TV without all you have is time to like talk to each other. Really.
Quality time.
Quality time.
Hard time. Hard quality time.
They're doing hard time. Quality time. You know, it is interesting though. Like, I don't know why we, so many people love television, love watching the boob tube. Mm-hmm. Yet we always talk about it. We also negatively refer, like we also make it sound like people are like not spending good time together if they're just watching TV together.
That is true.
And like, I wonder, has that always been the case? Was it just different things? Like if a couple sat together reading, was that like, you know, we don't spend quality time together. You're in your book, I'm in mine. I say at least you're like, you're laughing at the same things.
Yeah. You know? I would say it's better quality time watching the same TV show than reading separate books.
Yeah.
Because that I consider being alone together. Whereas if you're both watching the show, you're joining the same activity.
Yeah.
You're jointly combined. And that would be higher up on the quality time scale. If there is one, I don't know.
Or somehow going to a play together. Watching a play is considered better time than sitting on a couch watching TV. And for some reason, going to a movie together, I don't know if it's because because you're in the car together. Is it that's out of your house? So somehow it's more, it's looked on by society as better time.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember my marriage counseling, what they were saying, like for my first marriage, we just sit here and watch TV. I'm like, that, yeah. See, I thought that was a good thing. We're spending time together.
Yep. See, but then on the other side, if you're doing that to avoid conversation with them, I could see that shoe on in the other foot.
You know, I also like to say, you know, sometimes if you watch shows together, maybe it's good because it spreads out the time that you don't have to talk to them and learn about the things you don't like. So you'll last longer.
That is true.
If I don't get to know them too well, you'll never have a reason to break up.
Yeah. I think it was Paul Reiser that said the reason that couples divorce so much is because you're getting married too young. They're there for all your stories. You run out of things to talk about. Get married older. You've got more stories. You'll stay together forever. And
you hit a point that you're like, what am I going to start over now? Like,
I built this one from the ground up. I'm not quitting.
I'm turning 48. I'm like, what? I'm going to go hit the scene at 55? No.
Yeah.
I'm playing defense at this point. I'm running the clock out. No. I don't got time. I don't have time to restart the game. I can't do another game. I can't even do overtime. I'm like, I was running this clock out. Okay. Do you have another? Was that your last?
Let's see. Yes. Last one. Oh, well, no, I had like three more, but screw them. Best one by far. Simply the best, if I may throw a Tina pun in there. David Rose and Patrick Brewster.
Well, that's got number one on a few lists. Yeah. From Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Schitt's Creek. And what? So I watch it occasionally, but I have not watched it all through the whole every scene. What is it about their relationship that you
once love? Again, it is pure. Like they weren't coerced into being together.
Yeah.
The way that they met, the spark that they had, the chemistry, it all just like really naturally evolved through the show to the point that when they became a couple, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. I'm sorry. But when Patrick gets up there in an open mic and does an acoustic version of Tina Turner's Simply the Best. Tear. Like, it's one of those, like, you know, holding a boombox over your head outside of someone's window. It was a great just declaration of feeling for someone, not necessarily just like quick love, but hey, I see you, I appreciate you, and I want to spend some time with you, even if we're just watching TV. But
right.
And they were true to each other and they were honest, and it's just good. They're pure.
It makes me want to finish that for sure. It's funny. I'm like back to the podcast days of my daughter coming up to me. She's like walked next to me. Like I felt a stare. Like,
hi, Willow.
Staring at me. I'm like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be outside. Why aren't you in your studio, Daddy? Okay. So that was your number one. That was your number one couple?
Gomez and Morticia were my number one. Okay, I jumped around the list a little bit.
Now look, I know it's a cheesy one to say, but I gotta say, I've been rewatching The Office a lot lately. And in watching the Superfan episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I am more into Jim and Pam now than I was while it was going on. Like, I was telling my wife, like, they have like 4 episodes of problems where they weren't communicating. They were having trouble, little issue with their marriage where it was his impulsiveness. But they kept it like, you know, well, other characters on the show had these like had affairs and these illicit. They constantly had fun. They would do fun. They made their marriage and their relationship fun between doing the pranks on each other with each other. They were nice to each other most of the time. And you don't get that in a lot of relationships and a lot of even some of these other couples that are like, oh, these are great couples. Like these two were nice to each other. And I just found out apparently the writers had wanted Jim to cheat on Pam.
I heard that.
Yeah. And he refused to shoot the scene. He said, no, we've spent so many years with this couple. You're going to destroy the fan base of this show. And for this couple, if you do this. For this, there's no good reason for this to happen to them. So he refused to do it. So they rewrote it and didn't make it happen. And it was supposed to tie into some of her, like why she was a little jealous and nervous in the last season about him going off to Philadelphia to try to make something more of his life. But, and I love that they kept like, I loved and didn't like, they kept hinting at this idea that they could be breaking up, and then they would do a swerve where it was actually where he was like, no, I'm going to, and it, like, you thought they were about to break up, and then suddenly he proposed and it ended up being like lovely, or, you know, even their wedding. Like there's just so much about them that I like. And they're just also what cracks me up is like the way I talk to my wife about love and relationships and about my life. These are the most vanilla people I've ever enjoyed. They are so vanilla, and I was like, on paper I should not even like them, but I do. I just can't help it. I really, really like them. And though they're not the best, though we don't see them a lot, I will say I do kind of like Phyllis and Bob Vance from the show. They're kind of an adorable couple.
I've like an honorary never watched mention. The Office.
You've never watched The Office? Wow.
Okay.
You escaped.
I watched like 3/4 of an episode, but I was getting so much anxiety. I'm like, this show's toxic. I can't hang with the way these people are.
I will say, watching it, I was like, you know what? Jim's a bully. Jim is a bully to Dwight. He is mean to him. And then it's interesting watching it through and going, oh, he realizes what he was doing too. Like he has a realization that I've been a bully and I need to stop. And the evolution of that relationship through the years. My wife has a problem with it because she says it's too, reminds her of, she had a boss that seemed too much like the Michael Scott character or
Yeah.
People who have had a lot of office jobs seem to be like, no, this isn't funny. This is too reality.
I think that's why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been in those situations. But I watch, you know, What We Do in the Shadows, which is basically just The Office dark.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which, Nadja and Laszlo, I mean, they should be on a list somewhere.
Dre and Rainbow from Black-ish.
Absolutely.
I really, really love them. I love how strong they are and how they challenge each other. The only side part, like they put him, and this is more of a show fault, I think, is that they often put him as a clown, the dumb mm-hmm. dad, like dad's dumb always so yep. much. And they play that kind of clown caricature too much for me with it. But and I love that we get into the relationship a bit more. It gets a little deep. We do get a little deeper into the relationship and the two than something like the Cosby Show. Well, we did like Claire and
Heathcliff.
Looking back, I'm like, I don't think I really got to know them as a couple that much.
Mm-mm.
You know, they were a good symbol at the time, but I wasn't like, but I'm like, I don't know if I care about them that much.
I saw them more as parents than I saw them as a married couple.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, totally agree there.
Yeah. They're mom and dad, but they were not Claire and Heathcliff. It was just, you know, Dr. Huxtable and mom.
Now, did you watch The Good Place?
I have seen a few episodes. I'm pretty sure that there's a death warrant out on me somewhere because I haven't watched it right, as promised to some of my friends. But, oh God, what is the, I can't remember their names, but it's the.
So Chidi and Eleanor.
Thank.
As a couple, it's a fascinating. It's a fascinating growth of a couple mm-hmm. together and of opposites being working for each other. And it does make me think of my wife and I. My wife and I, we are opposite in a lot of ways to where I never would have picked her on a dating website. I absolutely okay. would never have just messaged. I would have read if she told me about what she does. Honestly, I would no. And I don't know that she would have gone with me, even if she did date people like me. I don't think on paper I was the choice, but we do work as a couple. We do actually do work in live actual.
Mm-hmm.
This for some reason, you know, we
got
were
the same thing here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then there's stuff about destiny and stuff with them that I just think is a good, yeah. I think, I mean, I will say, I do think it's the best. I think it's number one or number two of the best written sitcoms of all time. I think I would put it there. Okay, now I'm scrolling through these. Some I'm like, oh, so Ross and Rachel were toxic. I do not think, as much as we were all about, like, I was watching the show, yeah. seeing if they're gonna get together, see how it would end, you know, it was really kind of about them. They were so not even close to as good of a couple as Monica mm-hmm. and Chandler were.
Yes, I will agree 100%.
I think once Monica and Chandler became a couple, they were a pretty awesome couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone has to have that one episode where, like, they're afraid someone's like, getting tempted to cheat or something on someone. I think they stuck that on Chandler, and he peaced out and left so that he wouldn't be in the situation, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they were the best pairing. Phoebe ends up with at the end is pretty nice. Phoebe and Paul Rudd, right?
Yeah.
I forget his character's name, but
Mike.
But he's not around that long, so it's hard to.
He was around long enough to make a good enough impression on all of us to where we're now going, you know what? But Phoebe and her husband.
Yeah, yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
But I was like, if I'm going to give one couple to that, the show Friends, I'm going to give it to them and not Ross and Rachel. Cause that was just, no, just stop being together, please.
I'm going to give it to Gunther and a large extra foam cappuccino.
What did you ever watch Mad About You?
Yes. And okay. Paul and Jamie Buckman were going to be on my list.
Yeah.
I took them off when I remembered about the reboot.
Oh, I forgot about the reboot.
Yeah. And they just wanted us to think that like the end of the show never happened because they separated.
Wait, on the end of Mad About You?
So there's a separation that happens between Paul and Jamie. But when they rebooted, here they are back together. And it was like the separation never happened. And it was like the show never ended the way that it did. So
wait, I forget that they separated. Why did they separate?
It was just the very end of the show. I want to say it was the last episode.
That they decided this doesn't work?
It didn't show them officially separate. It alluded to, we're not working anymore. Let's go our separate ways. And then,
was it supposed to be just like a season finale?
It's supposed
and
to be
they
like
never a, came back. And they were like, oh, what? We're not coming back?
I think it was a cliffhanger where they were, because, you know, at the time, Helen Hunt's, you know, movie career was taking off even bigger.
Oh.
And then I think Paul Reiser was making like Goodbye Love or something that only 9 of us saw. But when they were like going into that whole portion of the show, they had to find a way to like put a pin in it to where they could theoretically come back someday. And it just so happened to be 25 years later. And then they're like, oh yeah, no, we've got a daughter. She lives at home. We've got this house together. And it's like, but wait a minute. Cause we've checked in. There have been articles. Things have happened. And I'm sorry, but Paul and Jamie Buckman. Yes. Great, great couple. I love them dearly. I just couldn't go with it because I don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm a purist.
I do have the whole, I don't like, as I'm trying to put them up on a pedestal, I know it happens. I know that cheating happens and then people forgive and go on, but and she didn't fully cheat. I think there was just like a kiss in there. But I feel like mm-hmm. when they do that, they kind of taint the relationship for me. But I will say they have a scene on a park bench mm-hmm. that is one of the best scenes, I think, in television. I used to use it as an example for acting classes, is this discussion that they have on this park bench after that episode. And it's before they decide to start trying. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she ends up pregnant at the end of it. But it has one of it. Mad About You for me has one of the best acting scenes on television, and it's that. I'd have to find the exact episode.
Because it's Helen Hunt.
Hell yeah! I mean,
Mama Rainey can do no wrong. I'm sorry. Like I wanted to put Ashley and Miles Jones on my list, but I don't feel enough people have seen Blindspotting to appreciate what a great couple they are.
Is that a show?
Yes. Well, first it was a movie. It was a movie. The show picks up after, like, the movie's all about Colin and him making it through probation and all that stuff. When the show picks up, Miles is going to jail and Ashley's got to move in with his mom. And that's when we meet Colin's sister, who was over in Oh, I can't remember where she was, but she was overseas. So we meet Colin's sister, we meet Ashley, we meet Miles, we meet their son, and it delves into the bigger story behind everything that went on in the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic. Love it. Get stars. If you don't have stars, get stars.
One relationship I saw on a list that surprised me at first because, and actually I think it's because they did such a good job with the way they presented it. So Sun and Jin from Lost. Whenever I first think of them, I always think of him like, wait, he was abusive. And I was like, oh no, they tricked us. They made us think that the way he was acting because he couldn't speak English. But it turned out, no, not at all. And how much he had sacrificed to try to make things work to get this sort of a princess to be with him. Like, I was like, that was a nice love. Though I also think that a dude from that show, Lord of the Rings dude, was on it a couple seasons.
Viggo Mortensen?
No. Couples from Lost. He was one of either Will. Let's see.
Lord of the Rings guy.
Lord of the Rings. He was one of the hobbits.
Sean Astin?
Charlie and Claire.
Okay.
Hold on. No, not Sean Astin.
Elijah Wood?
Wait. Okay. I gotta find his name now.
I admittedly did not watch Lost either. But I know the references.
Okay. Wait, I'm gonna play. What if I can share? Okay.
Just breathe, okay? Breathe. Help is.
Let's see if I can get her. Charlie and Claire remember. Okay. So those of you listening, we're recording on Zoom, so I'm trying to share my screen to show the picture. Could you hear that? What I just played? No, it wouldn't play. Okay.
Well, you have to hit the click the share sound also button.
Oh, I didn't know this. This guy.
Oh.
He's a hobbit, right?
I thought he was an elf.
Isn't he a hobbit? Wasn't he?
No, he had bows and arrows and stuff, didn't he?
That's not Orlando Bloom.
He had a. Okay, I know who the dude is. Can't think of his name.
Charlie Pace. Okay. Played by Dominique Monaghan. I thought that he was a hobbit.
He's an Lord X-Men.
He plays, Mary Doc. Brandy Buck. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, he plays Mary, the Hobbit.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he got nominated for a bunch of stuff for that.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a Hobbit. So whenever I would see him, I'm like, oh, he's a Hobbit.
Okay, now I can picture him. Okay.
And I just thought their relationship was, he falls in love with this woman who's pregnant on there. Mm-hmm. And he's very passionately goes after her. Goes after her, but in a nice way, right? He doesn't. A lot of guys are creeped out if they meet like a pregnant woman, right?
Shoplifting a single mom.
Okay, get that off. And then okay, what was it? Let's say the other couple that I was looking at here. No, screw them. Oh my God. Someone put Zach and Kelly from Saved by the Bell. And I'm like, okay, are you kidding?
I have
kidding?
Them here under worst couples.
Yeah. He's a horrible person, first of all. Oh.
Zach and Kelly actually tied with Kevin and Winnie for bad couples.
You don't like Kevin and Winnie?
I love Kevin and Winnie. However, Winnie, she can suck it. All right. She broke Kevin's heart. I'm sorry. But because of that, they don't deserve to be on the good couple list. Kevin can be on there twice. You know what? Throw Paul on there with him. Paul deserves to be on there more than Winnie does. Kevin and Paul, 2024.
I'm sure there's a lot of fan fiction for them.
Probably.
Oh, I did like this one. Glenn and Maggie from The Walking Dead.
They was very, very close to putting them on my list.
They were very steady. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal. A mixed interracial relationship shouldn't even be a big deal now, right? And it isn't.
No.
But like, I actually love, I feel like this did it early on where they had this relationship and it was never, you think it's going to get brought up when you hear a Southern accent. You figure the dad's going to be like, hold on. I know it's the apocalypse and we got limited resources, but you ain't going to be, you know, you're a stick to your own kind, Maggie. No, that never comes up.
Yeah.
Just like, no, he's a good dude. Good. Yeah, be with him.
I actually considered that when I put Pusey and So-So on my list.
Yeah.
I was like, one's black, one's Korean. They're both lesbian and they're in prison.
Yeah.
Bingo.
they were a nice solid couple in The Walking Dead, and yeah, which you knew, and they probably lasted longer as a couple than any other than any other couple does.
They could have gone further too if Lucille hadn't gotten in the way.
That one woman hadn't come between them. Yeah. Oh, that's bad. Okay. Okay. I want to shout out. Like, this is gonna be rapid fire. Like, give me a thumbs up, thumbs down on them if you know, right, or don't know them. Okay. So Lucy and Ricky.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cause he was mean. Is that
no?
One? No.
Because she was manipulative and lying and went behind his back.
Oh, she did
and
a lot.
Yeah. She was not a good wife.
She had a lot of
explaining. I mean, he wasn't a good husband either.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Yeah. Edith and Marchie.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Corey and Topanga, Boy Meets World. I didn't watch it. I didn't really watch it, so I can't.
I got answer constipation on that one. I'm not going to be able to give you a yes or a no.
Okay. Marshall and Lily, How I Met Your Mother.
You know what? I'm going to say yes. Okay. I think that they had a pure, true love. They were nice to each other. They protected each other. They respected each other, and they grew together.
Do you know she refused to kiss him on the set?
Oh, yeah, because he was a smoker.
Because he smoked.
Gross. So she stopped kissing. Like, I'm an ex-smoker, and I will not kiss a smoker.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, I'm married, too, yeah, so there's another reason. Too. But
yeah. Randall and Beth, This Is Us. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah?
100%.
Not ever seen an episode.
They are the strongest couple that I think I've ever seen. Like, they make me want to be a better wife and a better husband. I mean, aww, God, I'll do both just for them.
Awesome. Luke and Lorelai from the Gilmore Girls.
No.
No?
Mm-mm. No.
There, was that a team? Were there teams? Was that like a... Some people were pro Luke and some people were pro someone else? Was that it?
I didn't feel it for them at all.
Okay. Seth and Summer, the OC. I never watched it. Yeah. Kurt and Blaine from Glee.
Yeah, I'll allow it. I think they were a very cute and sweet couple. I didn't watch enough Glee to know about their relationship, to know if they were pure or not, but you know,
I feel like it was one of his first relationships, like Kurt's. So it was like a new
Yeah.
new love.
it was sweet enough. I'll give it the yes.
Oh, it was all right. Cute. Jess and Nick, the new girl. Never heard of it. No, I don't know.
No.
Okay, Meredith and Derek, Grey's Anatomy.
I've never watched Grey's Anatomy, and I've got strong feelings against it. I'm just going to say no on everything except for Callie in Arizona, and only because the person that played Callie is in And Just Like That now, and I love her character. So,
How about Ben and Leslie, Parks and Rec?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Such a beautiful couple.
I haven't watched it regularly once they got together, but every time I've watched it there, I've enjoyed the scenes, and they seem goofy and right for each other. Uncle Jesse and Aunt Becky, Full House.
Nah.
Just too.
Yuck. Nah. Overplayed.
Blair and Chuck, Gossip Girl.
Nope.
Claire and Jamie, Outlander. What is that show? I don't even know.
I've heard of it. Never watched it. I have no input. No opinion.
Steph and Lena, The Fosters. What? I'm like, what? The Fosters.
Can we give a shout out to Stan and Dorothy Zbornak, who were divorced yet still very supportive of each other?
Who? What?
Stan and Dorothy Zbornak from the Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And if we're going to go there, they were actually on my list, but I felt they wouldn't be well known enough. Rose Nyland and Miles Weber.
From where?
The Golden Girls.
Oh, okay. Yeah, long
Rose time. And Miles were a beautiful couple, and they were adorable.
Okay, The Fosters is a new show. This is pictures obvious. It's a lesbian couple.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
Is it like The Fosters, like it's their name, or are they the name is The Fosters. Family? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see Friday Night Lights, Coach Taylor and Tammy.
I saw that on a couple lists, but I've never watched Friday Night Lights.
He looks pretty cute. I don't know.
Oh, I'll agree. Yeah.
Frank and Estelle and Seinfeld.
Yes.
Okay. Mitch and Cam, Modern Family.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
Mindy and Danny on The Mindy Project.
No input.
Okay.
Mindy, though.
Dwayne and Whitley on A Different World.
No.
No.
Absolutely no.
He broke up. It's so weird. I watched an episode recently where he broke up her wedding.
Yeah.
And
they were
you gotta be able to communicate. You can't break up a wedding.
That was a relationship of convenience. I don't support it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fran and Mr. Sheffield, The Nanny.
Thank you. Yes. I have them on my list.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Didn't it ruin the premise of the show to have a nanny?
Now called Step Manny. I liked the arc that it created, and there was a lot of buildup, but much like Moonlighting, once they finally did get together and were a couple,
what did you do with the show?
It went downhill really quick. So,
They put Willow and Tara from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Well, you know, I remember liking it when it was out there, but now I feel like it was a novelty. At the time.
That's exactly why it's not on my list.
Yeah. Like it was a novelty at the time, but Tara was a little off, like a little weird. Mm-hmm. And
we all are.
Sure, she was. Yeah. But she, I don't know.
Everyone named Tara is off and weird. That's how it goes.
But it was just this. I was like, I don't really see a chemistry between these two. I felt like it was just we're going to have a lesbian couple. Oh my God. We're so progressive. Like
it was another relationship of convenience. Yeah. They were two teenage girls, experimental, who just happened to be in the same friend group. So,
yeah. Jake and Amy, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Is that based on a Die Hard love? Is that a Die Hard love, or she learns Die Hard?
She learns Die Hard to please him because his favorite love story is Die Hard.
Veronica and Logan, Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Okay. I never saw it.
Yeah.
Nathan and Haley, One Tree Hill. No, I wasn't there either.
Yeah.
Harriet and Carl, Family Matters.
Yes.
They seem a nice supportive family.
I would put them right behind Phil and Vivian.
I don't think I watched enough to know how much they got into the relationship. They remind me, like when you said about the Cosbys as parents, like I think of them as parents and how they were.
Yes. I could agree there.
Louis and Jessica, Fresh Off the Boat. I feel like that's a show I should have been watching.
I've only seen like one episode. It's hilarious. But no input.
Okay. What? Ian and Mickey, Shameless.
I've never watched Shameless. Yeah.
Jane and Raphael, Jane the Virgin.
I'll say yes.
Too soon. Oh yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Elena and Damon or Stefan, Vampire Diaries.
Nope.
No.
Nope. No. Nope. Nope. Yeet them into the street. There. No. That is a toxic.
Are they all vampires? Are they all vampires?
No.
Can you have a non-toxic relationship with a vampire? Is it possible?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Twilight Syndrome. And okay. No, the show itself was not great. I actually read the books before it was a show. And then I only watched the show because the guys were pretty hot and I was in a loveless, unhappy marriage. So, I mean, I had reasons.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say no on that couple, thruple, whatever. It's toxic waste heap is what it is.
Pacey and Joey, Dawson's Creek. Wasn't known.
Mm-mm.
Philip and Elizabeth, the Americans. Did that show last long enough to?
No. Meh.
Okay. George and Louise, the Jeffersons. Was that
they were
good?
On my list.
Were they good? They were good with each other?
Yeah, George and Louise, they loved each other.
It's of the times. He was such a misogynist.
He was, but Wheezy also called him out on it, if you recall.
Yeah.
She kept him level because, you know, he would be a misogynist with everyone, but then she would be like, excuse me, you know, like, what'd you say? Come again. So, I don't know, kind of like the Edith Bunker type of thing. Yeah, you're married to a real jerk, but you're the only one that can tame him.
Yeah. Here's one I don't know that I even like, and surprising, from Smallville. Clark and Lois. And I just did not think they had the best relationship in that show.
Nope.
I
think Clark and Lex had better chemistry.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's out there. We covered pretty much everybody else on there. You know, there was one show while we're talking about TV couples. I would like to give a shout out to one of my favorite shows. I'm trying to decide if they are a good couple or not. They might not be. It's a Netflix show called Love. It was only like 3 seasons. I absolutely loved the show. I don't know if they were a good couple for each other though, but I always recommend that to people to watch it. I don't think enough people have seen it. I think it's really good.
I don't think I have.
I think it's a great
show. I'll have to check
it out. It's a great, great show. Definitely a mature audiences. TVMA.
Okay. I need to ask an adult before I watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right.
Awesome. You know, it's funny. I lost my, it's not funny, actually. My glasses got broke. I broke my glass frames.
Yeah, I saw that.
So they snapped. So I got in a pair because when I first bought them, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do bifocals or not, and or if I was just going to do two different sets of glasses. And so I bought a single vision of the for the to take care of my nearsightedness so I could see things mm-hmm. far away. So I did eventually find these. It took like a day and a half to find my single pair, but now I can't read up close right now. It's like what was happening to me like 3 years ago when I had it. It was like having to look back at everything until I accepted my oldness.
Yeah.
So I'm having to move things so I can look at them and go like, okay, it's real charming.
I hear you. I got the font extra big on my phone right now, so I didn't have to wear my glasses.
Are you in general a big, when you watch shows, is it the romantic relationships you look for in it? Or what is that the type of show you usually are drawn to? Or
I go more for the plot and the writing. Like if I'm not interested in what the show is about and how well it's written in the first episode, I'm out. So I'm really surprised I stuck with And Just Like That.
Yeah.
But it's not about the romantic relationship. 'Cause like I watched all of Station 11 and there wasn't a single romantic relationship in there. But I still fell in love with certain relationships and those characters. So short answer, no, I'm not looking for romantic relationships.
I think with And Just Like That in particular, I think, boy, they got a lot. I think they got a lot of leeway from that first episode of fans going, okay, I'll give you one more episode or two. 'Cause that was like, that was not a good episode. And I almost like I messaged a friend to go, have you seen this yet? I don't know what to think. I'm torn because I'd never even heard about it being done. By the way, I will say one thing I like about how they handled it's interesting how anyone's handling the pandemic in their show. And their choice was to go, hey, let's acknowledge that it happened and then just pretend it's all done.
Yeah. Like, remember when we had to be 6 feet apart from each other?
We're going to acknowledge that in this episode and then we're just going to move on because we don't really want to have to deal with this. There's a show on HBO Max that I can't recommend it as a best couple because it changes. It's called Love Life. The first season follows Anna Kendrick. And it's supposed to be each of her relationships, each of her big mature relationships until she finds the person that she's going to be with. So each episode is a new person or is a new relationship, right? And then the second season follows the guy who plays Chidi from The Good Place. Uh-huh. So his character, he wasn't actually in it when we first saw it, but he was supposed to be in season one, like he was a background character in it. And then so they overlap with her at one area. And so I think this is how they're going to continue.
Okay.
And so it's an examination of. It's about millennials searching for their soulmate. So then it's each of his relationships. And sometimes it's you go back with that old person before for an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moves on to someone else or whatever. But it's I think it's a fascinating concept of a show. But you can't really say like, oh, here's one person that they're with as a couple.
Yeah.
I just added it
to my stuff. So
yeah, it's really I was surprised. I only thought I was like, I'll check it out. Anna Kendrick's cute. I'll just watch But she's adorable and she's actually was really interesting in it. And then I just kept watching because I wanted to know what was gonna happen with all of the people in her thing. It's such a neat concept of just jumping in time to the next level.
I find it funny that on my HBO Max, as I'm searching for Love Life, Big Love is what came up right under. Can that count as a power couple?
Big Love, was that the one with the guy?
Couple.
Was that the polygamous
Mormon dude?
Oh, okay.
It was like a Sister Wives HBO show.
Yeah.
I've never watched it. I just thought it was funny that it was right under there. There's a couple.
But okay. Hey, folks, that was the episode. Tara, just Widener?
Widener?
Mm-hmm. What do you go by? You don't use the middle name, right? What is that?
Well, Christian was my maiden name, but after I got married, no one knew who Tara Widener was, so I had to hyphenate it for like a year.
Oh, okay.
I left the church, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. thank you for coming on. Do you have anything coming up?
I do. Depending on when this airs, I'll be
February next week.
Okay, cool. So February 5th, I'll be in Bremerton closing out the friendly local neighborhood comedy show. Got Drew Lopez is on there. It's hosted by Billy Campbell and Paul Goodwin. And okay. Other than that, so you'll Variant be of the Month Club.
The what?
Variant of the Month Club.
Okay, Variant of the Month Club. Okay, we'll go and check her out live. And thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Black and a half.